the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
They've been exactly who they are from day one. I don't see why everybody can't be exactly who they are all season.
But they're the Rockets, and they've done.
They haven't won six in a row all season,
and they've lost twice to the Brooklyn Nets, and they lost three times to the Denver Nuggets, and they do things that make you take notice in terms of what is up with this team all year. So how can you be confident about their performance tonight against Dallas that they're moving forward when you really don't know what they're going to do from game to game, from half to half, from quarter to quarter?
The Adam Schefter interview with Greg Hardy.
I don't see
people not interview him.
I don't see what the point, what purpose it serves to bend over backwards to give him a platform. Adrian Peterson, I want to hear what he had to say about beating this zone with a switch. I really don't care what Greg Hardy has to say, so I don't understand if there's really a demand in place to put him in position to speak. It just doesn't really make a lot of sense to me, and I agree with Michelle here. Why are they getting in bed with him when he still won't even admit his wrongdoing?
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Welcome back into the Blitz. Jerome Solomon and Moise Kapinda Bauer here instead. Third hour of the show. Hope you've enjoyed it on your drive home. Lauren Leal is going to hang around a little bit longer with us. Mess with us. She's so thrilled by our harassment thus far. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Now, you're going to a movie premiere tonight?
I am going to movie premiere for Everybody Wants Some.
And what is this movie about now?
So, it's in the 80s.
It's not about that. That's not what it's about.
It's about a bunch of partying high school boys that are on a baseball team.
Oh, well, then crank it back up. It's high school boys. Yeah. That's what they want.
This new freshman's coming in. They kind of harass the kid, and he's trying to fit in with the baseball team and a bunch of partying and all that nonsense.
Cool. Now, you're the big movie buff.
Robert Linklater is the director of this movie, and there are a lot of people excited about it. When I was in South By last month, a lot of conversation about how good this movie is supposed to be to the point we're discussing off air. Not a lot of name people are in the movie, acting in the movie, but Linklater obviously has a huge name as a director based on what he's done recently with Boyhood getting a lot of accolades. And then this movie has kind of developed a lot of steam, a lot of momentum heading into the opening. So I'm curious to see how people feel about it. I know from a critical perspective, people are very excited about the movie itself.
Now, I haven't seen the end of Boyhood yet.
You haven't seen the end of Boyhood? At what point did you tap out on Boyhood?
I've been watching it. I mean, I had it. I mean, I just haven't gotten around to the ending. It was. I don't remember how I ended up not. Maybe I DVR'd it or something, but it didn't record the whole thing, and then I got it, and I just haven't gotten back. It was not all that to me. It was not what everybody had told me it was supposed to be. I mean, it was
not to delve into old movies, but it was about the execution of the movie, not the movie itself. The fact that it took
12
years to film. Yeah,
it was a
well executed gimmick.
Solid gimmick, I guess, but it was still a gimmick. I didn't really. No, you haven't. Lauren was telling she hadn't seen Training Day. Is that too old of a movie for you? Is it before your time?
When did it come out?
It's too old for
2000.
Oh, that's not bad. I was what, in like second, first grade?
2001.
Yeah, she was a child.
You were in second grade?
I believe so.
Oh my. I was a junior in high school.
It's not really saying a whole lot, though. I mean, I've seen Gone with the Wind. I was way before I was born. It was before my parents were born. So
and that would be the first time that Training Day was
compared to
Gone with the Wind. Frankly, that's the first.
Frankly, my dear.
Wow. 713-780-ESPN. Are you a big movie person? Because you do these premieres and stuff, but that's for work, though. That is not.
It is for work. I enjoy it. I enjoy what I do. Yeah. I love movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you an actress or a wannabe?
I am. Doesn't everybody want to be? That's true. I went into college wanting to do acting. You know, I was like, okay, broadcast, closest thing to it. And then I really started falling in love with broadcast, picking it up more and more throughout my years at U of H, and then kind of had left on this path. Now, I do love acting. That's my first love. But broadcast, I don't know. I've grown to love it just as much.
Did you know you have an IMDb page?
I do.
Yes, she does.
A word?
I didn't know that.
Yes, she does.
Yeah, you got a little bio and everything.
Uh-huh. Glad I have Safari already open.
I haven't been on that in a while.
Now you got people Googling you now. It's Lauren Leal, L-E-A-L. And you were a cheerleader?
I was. Mm-hmm. Houston Texans, baby.
Mm-hmm. You were, what month of the calendar were you then?
March.
Yeah, so your month just ended.
Yeah, my month just ended, but this was back in 2012. So.
Way back then? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. And amazingly, I don't know how this happened. I get two people on the show at the same time, and neither one of them watched Game of Thrones. I don't know what's wrong with you people at all.
I'm not a TV person.
Well, I've watched it.
You're not a TV person.
Shame.
Much more of a movie person than a television person.
Okay.
Okay.
I've spent all my free time watching. If I'm not watching either a sporting event or a cooking show, I'm watching a movie.
Cooking show?
Yeah.
What cooking shows are you into?
I'm a huge Andrew Zimmern fan.
Okay.
When Anthony Bourdain was at South By, I missed him because someone screwed me over, but that would have been the highlight of my weekend there. Because
Bourdain, I
dig Bourdain.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. Now, that's how cool MK is, that he's a South By.
I was just there, you know.
You know, most other people in South by Southwest, they still the whole full, but you know, the insiders are just a South by, you know.
You don't have a picture in your IMDb page.
I don't. I haven't kept up with it. I haven't been on in a while because, like I said, I've been focused on broadcast and not so much acting.
Why are you looking for? She's right here. You don't need a picture.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, you're looking at me right now. Okay,
I'm on IMDb all the time. I'm just curious.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Now, if you were Game of Thrones fans, you might be interested in Emilia Clarke, who's the actress who plays Khaleesi. She has a dream of how she'd like the series to end that I think is rather fascinating. She says, I want to see Daenerys, and that's the name of her character as well. I mean, I want to see Daenerys and her three dragons share the throne, she's told Glamour magazine. Eat goat that they've barbecued and bring back all the pretty boys. Get them to take their trousers down and be like, I'm now the queen of everything. I like close-ups of all the boys' penises, please.
So this is in reference to the gratuitous nudity of the show in the past several years.
Apparently, yeah. She wants to turn the table a little bit. Yeah. I wouldn't really think that would be a good way for a show to end, but since y'all don't watch the show, I guess you probably won't.
I understand the context, especially given Ian McShane's comments about the show a couple weeks ago, what it basically boils down to. I find it kind of humorous without even watching a television show.
Now, none of these big series of late that made you think, hey, you know, I mean, I'm talking from even the ones that are off now, the Wire, Breaking Bad.
I admit,
ones that are on now,
given how Banshee. Much I'm into these things, I don't know why I've never, you know, cleaved to a television. If there's something weird about the commitment to it, like the week by week commitment to it.
Yeah. Yeah, your ex-wife said the same thing.
With a movie, I'm committed for 3 hours and I'm good. You know what I'm saying? But otherwise, yeah, every week, I got to be here every week to watch this show. Or I got to record it and make sure I make time to watch it every week. And I can't commit to something like that.
Yeah, but they're doing more of them now. I mean, I have like the British style where it's just 6 episodes and that's it. There's no next season, or the next season is a whole different story with different characters. And
oh,
that
like
kind
American
of
Horror Story, yeah. But same characters.
Yeah, something I haven't watched that, but yeah, it's similar to that in that it's a set story. But that's what they're doing a lot more of that now. The Fargo was it's just one season. I don't know how many episodes, probably 10 or something. That is just that. True Detective, just one season period with those actors and that story. Line and that's it. So it's still a commitment, but it's not like you don't know how long it's going to last as it is with a normal series.
With a normal commitment.
Yeah. Man, if you've got commitment issues, you know, perhaps you should see somebody
Maybe that's what it boils down to, because I get asked this question a lot. When people understand how much I love movies, they ask me, you know, eventually what television do you like? I'm like, I like Flight of the Conchords. It was on 5 years ago, and that's kind of the last show I was kind of into.
I never saw that. What was that?
About the two New Zealanders who are bandmates who came to New York to try to make it as a band. It was a humor show. It was on HBO.
That sounds funny.
I loved it. But that's the last
show. New Zealand.
Yeah. I mean, you never really saw any episodes of Flight of the Conchords?
No. I don't think I was missing anything.
And this is why there's a chasm that exists between us and has always existed for many, many years.
What's trying to say? I'm not a, I don't know anything about Flight of Conchords, so I can never be that person
you
with
never,
you.
You can never be down, man.
I'm with you, Jerome. I don't know.
You in here taking shots, really?
Wow.
I'm not taking shots. I've never seen it.
Disheartening.
I don't think anybody has. I barely remember
Jong?
That it was on.
No, there's a
Jong. You Flight of the Conchords?
No,
but you haven't even heard of it.
I haven't, but it has a pretty good rating on IMDb.
Yep, it's an excellent show. It was 2 years, but it was an excellent show.
Oh well, I mean, I have access to all the old stuff, so maybe I'll give it an episode or two. But it's I don't have time to make a commitment to a new show. When new shows come on, I'm like, I'm not doing it now. I did watch The People versus O.J. Simpson. You didn't watch that.
I've seen two episodes of it. They were great. I just haven't gotten around to watching the rest of the show.
The finale of last night, that was pretty good. Now, that you know, O.J. Simpson was this football player.
Oh, okay. All right.
He won the Heisman, you know.
Okay.
There was a double murder, you know. It was when you were like minus 5 years old. Yeah.
I mean, this is before Training Day, so we have to put these things in context for you.
Okay, guys, come on. Not that bad. I know who O.J. Simpson is and what he did. Or supposedly.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Nice allegedly thrown in there. Well done.
When we come back, we're going to have in the next segment, what is this called anyway, John? There's no title for this?
Oh, it's What Are the Odds? Basically, we do a What Are the Odds segment with the listeners, so if you guys want to play. It's 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. We're going to just blast through a bunch of What Are the Odds calls, and the best What Are the Odds calls, determined by me, moi, will win a $50 gift card to Quaker Steak and Lube in League City.
Quaker Steak and Lube, $50, that's a massive gift card. 713-780-3776, line them up and get a chance on What Are the Odds Wednesday on The Blitz. $50 gift card to enjoy dinner on us at Quaker Steak and Lube in League City at I-45 and FM 646. They have the best wings in Texas with over 25 different sauces. TV on every wall so you won't miss a game. Plus, there's always a special theme night happening at the Lube. Bike night, team trivia, happy hour, karaoke, car cruise in, and more. Check it out online at thelube.com. A $50 gift card to Quaker Steak and Lube on the table now on What Are the Odds Wednesday, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. The best What Are the Odds call determined by the judge. Judge Jong gets the $50 gift certificate. Let's crank it up and start it now. How about you, Angel? Blitz it.
Hey, I was just wondering, what are the odds that the replacement host cost Fred, AJ, and Jong the number one ranking for the day?
That's about 99.9%, you know. But in the key demographic of brothers,
we number one.
We be number one. That's how we brothers do it. In case you didn't know. 713-780-3776. That lost us some more listeners right there. Kevin, you're on the Blitz. Talk to me.
Hey.
And seeing that one there, that lost us some more listeners. Hey.
Hey, what are the odds that we have two Texas teams in the second round of the NBA playoffs?
Two Texas teams in the second round of the NBA playoffs. That is virtually impossible. The only way for that to happen would be, you will have two Texas teams in the playoffs, perhaps three if Dallas and the Rockets get in, but only one of them is likely to be in the second round. That's the Spurs. That's 100% that one Texas team will be in the second round. 5%.
At best.
That two Texas teams will be in the second round?
No, because, one of them is going to play
the other. Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why it says 100% that one will be. Yeah, for two to be.
That means somebody got to be Golden
the
State.
The Rockets or the Mavericks would have to be Golden State. 0%. 0.0. 0.00 Steph Curry breaking a leg.
You're operating on the outside shot that the Rockets get to sixth and play the Thunder and beat the Thunder.
They can't get to sixth. Yeah, they can't get to sixth. And yeah, no, if Steph Curry breaks a leg, then the Rockets would have a shot to win a couple of games, maybe win a series, but no.
Do you know the perfect – I think this would go down as like the perfect scenario for how the season goes. If the Rockets do get into the playoff mix and get to number 7 to avoid the Thunder, the Spurs somehow find a way to get the number 1 overall seed and the Rockets still end up messing with the Warriors. I think that'd be the perfect ending to the Rockets season.
You didn't get away from it.
Yeah, you can't get away from the Warriors.
Yeah. And it is possible. I think the and Golden State's not going to, but if Golden State lost their remaining 4 games and the Spurs won out, the Spurs would be the number 1 seed. But I expect Golden State to play better, and I expect San Antonio to pull off the dogs here in a couple of games. They play them twice, and knowing that there's a good chance there's a chance that they'll see him in the conference final, I don't expect Popovich to show too much more of his cards against the Warriors here.
I think the only thing they have left to play for is finishing the year undefeated at home. I think otherwise, and you know, why not rest guys this last week of the season to get everybody as ready as possible physically for the postseason run? Mm.
What are the odds, Dwayne? Welcome to the Blitz. Talk to me.
Hey, I want to know what are the odds that the Miami Heat shock everybody and win a world championship.
Miami Heat shock everybody and win the world championship.
I feel a lot.
If you
about
said
those.
If Miami Heat wins the world championship, what are the odds they would shock everybody? I would say 100%.
If Bosch were playing, I'd feel better about those odds. But without him playing, they don't have any shot. And I think their shot is very, very small, infinitesimal anyway. But without Bosch, they aren't the same team.
Yeah, and they can't beat enough teams. They can't beat enough teams. I don't even think they can get to the finals. But if they were able to get there, they can't beat any of the teams in the West.
The balance of the East makes it such that it's going to be difficult to predict who wins any round other than Cleveland through the first couple rounds. But because Boston is a very good team, Atlanta's a good team, Miami's a good team. I think the balance with those teams makes it such that I wouldn't feel good putting money on any of those squads against one another.
Joshua Budd at Electrifying Sacks. I get it. I see what you did there. At Electrifying Sacks on Twitter says, aren't sports games a bigger commitment than TV shows? Football is every Sunday. MK, you can't make a commitment to a TV show, but you commit to football.
Even that, I start watching Red Zone more than I start watching games. So that speaks to my commitment phobia.
You're not locking in on that,
yeah,
huh?
I got problems.
So the Astros are already off and going. David Dilati sitting in as well. Correa, homer again.
Yeah, another homer, 2 for 2. Two homers in 2 games. I'm starting to get the feeling he might turn out to be a pretty good player.
Yeah, that guy's not half bad. I was telling
you. Wow, he's the most heralded Astro in the history of this franchise in terms of a guy that's only played a year. I'm not saying he's the greatest Astro or anything, but there is no other Astro that's ever been hyped, certainly by national media and such, like Carlos Correa has been hyped. Cesar Cedeño got a little bit of that when he first came up, and Cedeño remains the youngest guy to start an opening day game for the Astros.
Mm-hmm.
He's got Correa beat by only a matter of months, though, maybe even weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen the hype around a young Astros player like Carlos Correa.
I thought you were going in a different direction than that. I thought you were going to say he is the most heralded player in Astros history to live up to the hype at such an early part in his career.
Well, yeah, you could say that.
I mean, I guess that's true, too. Yeah,
too. But, you know, Jeff Bagwell was a big-time prospect when he came here, and he was Rookie of the Year. So you could say he lived up to his hype.
He probably exceeded his hype. I'm just talking about,
like, the first couple of years.
Well, Correa, I'm saying Bagwell, I think Bagwell exceeded the hype because he wasn't number 1 overall pick like Carlos Correa.
Right.
Yeah, so,
yeah.
Now, that's the key part. He's a 1-1. I think when you're a 1-1 player, you're going to get a lot of hype just because of where you were drafted.
But Correa, the first 100 games, he tied the Astros record for most home runs?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, he's just a very, very, very special player. And I think he's going to be able to handle all this national adulation because he's a very mature player. I think he's well-adjusted. I just think he's the real deal. I think when it's all said and done, I think we're going to talk about him as being the greatest Astros player ever.
That's putting a lot on a guy, but that's how good he is.
That's his skill level.
He's
the most skilled player they've had since Cedeno. I mean, I don't think they've had, in terms of all the tools.
No, he lacks the speed tool. I think that's the one thing.
Well, I'm not saying he's
back.
A five tool guy, but I can't think of a guy that has
the hit tool, the power tool, the glove, right. the arm.
And he's not slow.
Yeah, he's not slow.
He's just not a speedster. Yeah, but he isn't slow.
That's the worst of his five.
And, you know, I still consider Cedeno the most skilled Astro ever.
Yeah.
But this guy is a close second.
I wouldn't disagree.
Now, I'm probably going to get tweets about Biggio and Bagwell and Berkman. I'm not saying they're the great Cedeno.
Oh, well, Berkman's not in the discussion.
I'm talking about skills. I'm not talking about actual accomplishments, the actual numbers, skin on the wall. I'm talking about skill level.
When will he win an MVP?
You know what? I was looking at ESPN's prediction, ESPN writers' predictions. There was about 10 or 12 guys. And out of those, I think there was like 12 guys. And out of those 12, I think five or six picked Correa to be the MVP. Yeah. Another four or five.
This year. Yeah.
Another four or five picked Trout, and then there was somebody else in the mix, Josh Donaldson or somebody else. It's conceivable to me he wins it this year. To me, picking individual awards is, at this point, it's one thing to pick teams to win the divisions, make the playoffs.
Yeah, but players,
there's just so many variables.
No doubt.
The guy could be the best player in the league and his team is in third place.
Like Mike Trout? And he's only won it once when he's been the best player in the league for 4 years?
Right, and you're not going to win the MVP. I guess, well, Trout did, but it's hard to win an MVP if your team, which I think is wrong, because I think if you're the best player in the league, you're the best player in the league, but it's hard to win if your team's not in contention, that sort of thing.
And I think that's why he's getting all the accolades right now, because there's the perception that they're going to win a division. So it ties into what you're saying, Dave, is that if they win a division, he has a great full season. He's going to be the MVP not only because of his talent, his production, but because of what Astros rest in the standings, as opposed to Mike Trout being the best player in the American League for years, and they've only gotten to the postseason once, I think, during that stretch of time.
Yeah, jump in on the What Are the Odds Wednesday at 713-780-3776. A testament to how great baseball people think he is. A-Rod was on with Mike and Mike the other day, and you know, he's just giving one of those standard answers about how the game is in good shape. But even a guy like A-Rod goes, the game's in great shape. There are young superstars out there. And he said, like Mike Trout, like Bryce Harper, and like Carlos Correa.
Right.
He's thrown his name into that mix with those two guys who've already proved.
Who've already won MVPs. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and that's,
Correa reminds that me says of a lot. A-Rod. He really does. Maybe it's just the body build when A-Rod was young. The power he brings at the shortstop position, the defensive skills he brings at that position, just enough speed to not a speedster, but just enough speed to be legit on the base paths, to be a stealing threat. He does remind me of a young A-Rod, another 1-1 guy. A-Rod was already in the big leagues, I guess, at 19, 20, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. He does remind me of a young A-Rod. And we'll see moving forward if shortstop is his permanent position. Early in his minor league career, there was thought about maybe this guy, because of his size and power, maybe this guy's really a third baseman. He plays.
They've still talked about that. Just, you know, you don't know if that'll ever happen,
right.
You know, and how it'll play out. But yeah, you mentioned A-Rod was already up. Correa was not up based on talent. he was not up because that's the way the Astros run their business. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. And the Astros couldn't be off to a better start. It's ridiculous to even talk about, oh, what a big game, and it's the Yankees and all of that. But it's one out of 162 with yesterday's opener. But the key to me, if there is anything you can take from it, is they got exactly what you expect to get. Throughout the year, you got your best player delivering in Korea. You got your best pitcher dominating in Keiko. It's like, well, that, and you're telling everybody in the league, this is what you're going to see when you go up against our team. And that's,
other than
that's
the win,
impressive.
I thought the most encouraging part is there wasn't double-digit strikeout numbers for the Astros. I still think, I mean, I'm going to
– They got to cut that down.
I picked them to win the division, but I – you know, I could see the Rangers easily winning the division as well, because my big concern, I got a couple of concerns, but my biggest one, it remains the offense. I mean, last year the offense was okay, and they managed to get it done with a lot of power and a lot of strikeouts, but I just don't think you can have a good, consistent offense with that many strikeouts when you're so home run dependent. Now, they got it done last year, but I think they got it done more from the combination of pitching and defense and some speed there as opposed to the offense. But the offense obviously delivered a lot of power, very explosive offense, but they score in stretches and they score in bunches, which to me, I don't. That's problematic to me. If they do it again and
they do it the right time, and then, but that's the thing. They got such a great start last year too. And
I'm not a believer in the notion that an out is an out, which is now the new baseball mentality. Uh-huh. Whether you strike out, ground out, fly out, it really doesn't make a difference. I just don't understand how you can think that when a ground out can drive in a run, mm-hmm. a strikeout doesn't, or a ground out can move somebody over. But that's sort of the new thinking. An out is an out. And so if we're going to make outs, let's take our big swings and see if we can hit the ball out of the ballpark. Okay. I just don't agree with that. But a lot of teams are doing that.
Resident baseball expert David Dilotti telling you an out is not an out. Sometimes an out is an in. Or something. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. We haven't even said it. Congratulations, University of Cincinnati women's basketball team, for winning the national championship. Fourth year in a row. So says Mike Tyson. We'll be back in a minute. This is the Blitz.
RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
The other guys in his locker room, they're wondering, like, why is he here? They're kind of looking at him like this. You know, like, man, seriously. No, seriously, because you know if a guy already said he doesn't want to be here and he's already met with John Elway and the Denver Broncos brass, your teammates are thinking he's out of here. Why is he still in our locker room? He doesn't want to be here, and it will cause a problem. No matter what anybody says, it's going to cause a problem that he's in that locker room.
I've worked at a few places and had some coworkers saying that. Why is he still here? How the hell he get a job here in the first place? 713-780.
Not lying, though. That's a bizarre situation. It really is.
That's LaDainian Tomlinson talking about Colin Kaepernick. Yeah, I just think it's going to get done. I don't know what it's going to take for it to happen, except for the 49ers to go ahead and figure out a way to cover some of that, you know.
But when you've publicly discussed moving the guy to the extent they've discussed moving him, you got to move him, A, and then B, he doesn't need to be there. I understand he has some sort of obligation that he feels like he needs to be there. I don't need to see him in my locker room based on the circumstances.
He had to be there to get $400,000.
They could have worked around that somehow.
Look, I love my job. I love what I do. It is my passion, and covering sports and writing stories is just the most exciting, fun thing I can think of doing. But if the Chronicle told me, yo, we will just keep paying you and you don't have to work, I really would not have a problem with that.
Exactly.
But I'm guessing they won't ever do that. And I'm sure if the 49ers told him, hey, we'll just give you the four, you don't have to come, he would not be there.
And it's weird that they didn't allow that sort of situation to unfold, given the circumstance of them trying to move him. So I don't – LT's right. Like, I don't understand what good it does to have him there when he already has one foot out there. It's like – the minute you mention divorce, the marriage is over. Like, you know, you're already half a foot out the door.
I'm sure there are thousands of people driving around listening now, or tens of people driving around listening now, ones of people driving around listening now who have said, you know, do you want a divorce? And they're still happily married. You can't just assume that it's over until you sign the paper, right?
But once you've discussed that word,
the word comes up,
paper signing is imminent.
713-780-3776 on What Are the Odds Wednesday. Get your What Are the Odds question in for a $50 gift certificate to Quaker Steak and Lube. Speaking of the Broncos, and this is just a problem I have with Houston sports fans on some level, but generally just Texans fans specifically. Y'all are just sad. It's sad, and your kind of sadness is funny to me and I make fun of it because you're so sad. But today, for instance, the Broncos sign Jared Krick. And I see Texan fans and some media who are also fans as opposed to being journalists.
Man, please. Do not get me started on that.
Oh, I'll get you started on them. With the, ha-ha, Texans won that. Texans got Osweiler. Broncos got Jared Krick. Ha-ha-ha. Listen up, Texan fan. Did y'all miss the parade? Were y'all at work the day that the Broncos threw a parade this year? See, because they won a Super Bowl. So until your team has a parade and a trophy, you know, the nice, beautiful trophy with the football on it, and it's called a Lombardi, I would guess that the Broncos know what the hell they're doing a little bit more than your Texans do. And you remember last time y'all were talking about, oh, the Texans North up there, huh? They signed the Owen Daniel. Yeah, you can have Owen. Take him. Yeah, I think Owen caught more passes than all of the tight ends on the Texans rosters combined. And you know what he caught? I'll show you a text now.
He caught a ring,
he
too.
He told me to call him champ now. I call him champ now instead of OD. How can you make fun of the Broncos brass when you're the Texans?
When your organization has accomplished nothing. Nothing. But to your earlier point, can you please explain to me how people who work in the media here so blatantly cheerlead? I mean, without any regard for journalistic integrity, cheerlead for the Texans, the Rockets, do your job without cheerleading. I don't think it's really asking a whole heck of a lot for you to be a professional and not cheerlead on Twitter, on Facebook, wherever you cheerlead. Can you not cheerlead? It rankles me more than anything else about working in this market. How many people openly cheerlead for teams when you work at a television station or a radio station or whatever?
And what's sad about it is not only do they do that, it's they're so bad about doing it, and the media market in Houston is so pathetically soft. And trust me, I'm part of the media market here, so I mean, don't act like I'm, you know, leaving myself out of this criticism. I'm just better than everybody else. But they're so bad at doing it, or do it so often in such a way that the team management expects that from them.
When
you do something other than that, they're like, what's your
wrong
problem?
With you? Yeah.
You know, fans have grown to expect that from media here. They expect them to
be the bad guy for being objective with the team.
You know, it's like, what are you talking? The Chronicle, we got new Astros beat writer now, Angel. And Angel tweeted out, retweeted a photo of George W. Bush and Barbara at the Rangers opener. And a fan's like, don't you cover the Astros? Don't you? Why are you tweeting that out? They're the enemy. I'm like, dude, relax. He's not cheering for the Astros. He's covering the team. He's covering baseball. It is sad. I agree with you on that. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Get in on the What Are the Odds Wednesday. I think Joseph is the one holding it down right now. The best question gets a $50 gift certificate to Quaker Steak and Lube. That's 50 bucks, people. I know you want some of that. We'll be back. Wrap up. Final segment of The Blitz. Jerome Solomon, MK Bauer. This is ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Welcome back into The Blitz, 713-780-ESPN. Let's put in a couple of phone calls here before we get you out of here. Jerome Solomon and Moise Kapenda Bauer. I can't see all the way over there without my glasses on. Joseph, you're on The Blitz. Start talking.
What are the odds that the Texans make and possibly win the Super Bowl before J.J. Watt retires?
Well, the Texans play in Houston, right? And Houston has had some form of an NFL a team capable of going to the Super Bowl in, what, 45 of the 50 years that the Super Bowl has been around. And the city of Houston has had zero representatives play in said Super Bowl. Do the math on that. Carry the two. Zero divided by 50 plus three minus. At zero, that's 0%, right? But since we're talking about the future and not the past, we'll add in some possibility that can be done. 5%? Am I being generous? No, or am I being mean?
I think you're being a little bit mean. They're in a position where I think they at some point the Patriots won't be the Patriots anymore, and I don't see a rightful successor in the AFC to take their place and be the dominant placeholder in that conference. Do you?
Well,
so I'm saying that in the time frame of J.J. Watt's prime.
I get you there, but in the real quick then on that's a good way of looking at it. I didn't think of looking at it that way. I was more thinking of looking at it like they play in Houston. You want to get deep, okay? Okay, there isn't a coach or team or quarterback probably even that we know of that's going to do Belichick and Brady right going forward.
We thought it was going to be luck, okay. But it's not going to be luck.
But in their own division, you have Mr. Luck. It still could be luck.
It could be.
It probably won't be Pagano, but it could be luck.
He backslid a little bit, enough to at least introduce some questioning into the equation.
And you have Mariota.
Remains to be seen. And they got to get.
I think he's better than what you have.
They got to get the coaching situation straightened out, though.
Mm-hmm. And you have Blake Bortles, so you may be in a position where you have
the fourth best quarterback
in your own division for a stretch of time. Forget, you're talking about the one team to keep you from going to the Super Bowl. There's a potential three teams that keeps you
from winning the division,
yeah. Year in and year out, and year in and year out, and back and forth. So, I don't know what.
What odds? No more than 10%, simply because now the past should not be an indicator of future results, but they've been so bad in the past for so long as two different organizations that it's hard for me to figure out whether they get over that hump psychologically.
We're down on them, but we have damn good reason to be. I mean, that's just the way it is. This defense, it's capable of. I made fun of them a little earlier with some of the Texans fans jumping on the Broncos, but the Broncos won the Super Bowl with Gary Kubiak and Wade Phillips as the coach and the defensive coordinator. They're good enough to win a Super Bowl. They weren't good enough to do it when they were here. What made them so much better there?
Personnel?
I don't know about that. I mean, I don't think that Broncos defense was that much more talented
than what the Texans were in 2012.
Texans' best defense, right. I really don't. Yeah. I've had that debate with a few people too, and I'm like, no, let's not turn this Broncos defense into
the 86 Bears.
Yeah, they're not Bears. That. Yeah. They're really, really good, yeah. And they were particularly dominant in the playoffs. But
I don't even think they were the 2000 Ravens.
Yeah,
to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, yeah. But they're not. It's not an all-time great defense. No. They're not as good as the Seahawks were.
So you're saying winning? So you're saying winning pedigree helps that the Broncos have won enough
knowing
in the past,
knowing what you're doing.
And the components are in place that they can win under circumstances that would be difficult for teams that have never won
it's
before.
Like, I mean, if you put a smart, starving man in a line where there's free food and a not-so-smart, starving man in a line where there's free food, the not-so-smart one will go, nah, cool, I'm not that hungry. You put a Peyton Manning in a line with a team starving for a quarterback and a Peyton Manning in a line with another team that's a smart team, he goes to the Broncos instead of coming here. Smart team would have wanted that guy then.
So obviously you know more than I do.
And at the time, yes, I did, Gary. But right now, you're Super Bowl champ. You know what you're doing. That's pretty good.
You're damn right.
Is that it for today? Is that Merle Haggard playing goodbye?
Yes, he
R.I.P. is. R.I.P. Merle. Well, I've been doggone. I really appreciate that. Thanks for joining me here on MK.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for stepping in here. It was very, very valuable. John, good job as always.
Yes, sir.
Lauren Lil did what she did. Had a lot of fun with her. Delotti stepped in, gave us a little baseball. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And the fellas will be back tomorrow, 4 o'clock here on ESPN 97.5, live from Vegas. It's 4 o'clock here. That's 2 o'clock in Vegas. What are the odds Wednesday? What are the odds Fred makes it to the show and he's good to go? 2 o'clock. Ooh, boy, that's kind of early. Kind of early for Fred. I'll put it at 60%. He'll be there. He'll be good to go. He may need a trash can to, you know, relieve some of the tension in his stomach, but I'll send you away on a vomiting joke as we go. Stick around. ESPN 97.5.